interview with Bob Frank for the Sturgeon History Project. My name is Dick Kerner. I'm just checking the equipment for sound. Talk into it and say this is a test.
Morning, Dick. We're just checking out the equipment. This is a test.
My name is Dick Kerner, and I'm here with Bob Frank to do a Sturgeon history interview, and just checking the equipment, and I want Bob to check his microphone again.
Good morning, Dick. I'm ready to check the equipment. Ready when you are.
Good morning. My name is Dick Kerner, and I'm here to do a Sturgeon interview with Bob Frank, a neighbor of mine who lives on the lake. Bob, I'm going to ask you a series of questions and answer anything that comes to your mind. It don't have to be exactly in the order I have it. Bob, when and where were you born?
I was born in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin in 1932.
And where do you live now?
I live at 520 Sunrise Bay, town of Neenah.
Okay, Bob, how did you get interested in sturgeon spearing?
Well, I did a lot of hunting and fishing in my days, and it was just when I got old enough to get a shanty and stuff, that was the way I wanted to go, and very enjoyable.
Well, we know we're talking spearing here, but there's also hook and line season in some lakes and some rivers in Wisconsin. Have you ever gone outside and done any hook and line sturgeon spearing?
No, I haven't.
Or sturgeon fishing?
No, haven't tried it.
Bob, who taught you? Your dad, maybe, or a friend or brother, or did you, are you self-taught?
Kind of self-taught, but I used to go out and visit a few guys I knew out there, Elmer Kuchenbecker and a few of them old guys, and kind of got the fever.
Bob, how has the sport changed since you started spearing?
Oh, it's changed a lot. We used to be out there before dawn and stay till dark, but now it's mostly just, now it's the way it should be. That's a long day, you can't sit there.
Yeah. Everybody seems to like that half day.
Oh, I'm all for it.
Yeah. We've made 17 different rule changes in the last few years, and they were all to protect the sturgeon. You know how long it takes for a female to reach maturity, you know, about 25 years.
Definitely, yeah.
So, do you agree with that philosophy that we're on the right track?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Bob, how many years have you been spearing? You've got any idea?
Oh, probably 55.
Yeah? It's a long time.
Yeah.
In that 55 years, Bob, how many sturgeon do you think you've speared? You kept track?
No, I never kept a count. Maybe 25.
Hey, that's good. That's about what I got.
Yeah,
25, yeah. 27. That's good. Have you missed any in that 55 years?
I don't want to talk about that. I had one on one time. I had a sturgeon on for 45 minutes, and I couldn't get him near the hole. But that's when we made our own spears out of old forks and stuff, yeah. And I just couldn't get him near the hole.
So you didn't miss him, you just couldn't?
And then finally pulled off.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happens now and then. If anybody's put a lot of time in out there, there's always a miss or a loss eventually.
Oh, definitely. I'll never forget that fish. Yeah.
Well, it's the goal of all spearers, it seems, that they want that magic number, 100 pounds. If you ever get 100 pounds.
No, 87.
Hey, that's the same.
87 is the biggest one. Yeah.
And mine would have been 100 had it had eggs, but it spawned out.
Yeah, mine had eggs. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Bob, do you prefer the shanties with the wheels or the tip down? You sure can tell the difference between an East Shore, Lake Winnebago, Shannon, and you know, they got them great big barns on runners, and on this shore, it seems everybody's got shanties with wheels, either a tip down or a
pop-up. Yeah, I had the pop-up, and that was really very, especially if you're alone.
Yeah.
Or one other guy, you can easy to hook on and go.
Now, of course, now we can only spirit out 12:30, so most people are out there, you know, the whole morning, and there's not much visiting anymore
going on.
It's all serious business, but do you have a favorite time of the day? When it was all day spearing, did you have a favorite, you want to be there by at this time?
I think it was between 1 and 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it didn't make that much difference. You just got to be there.
I never wanted to miss between 11 and 1.
Oh, yeah.
I was sure lucky during those hours. Bob, do you set up with a GPS now that you got GPSs and that? To mark a spot, or do you go by landmarks yet?
Just by landmarks. I look out there every day, and you're kind of a hot spot. You like to go, you know, if it's hot or not, you find out in a hurry.
Yeah, and you can always move. Yeah, and
move. It's easy to move nowadays with the saws.
If you get one, it's a new hot spot.
Yeah, hot spots change every year.
How about the redworms? You ever look for them and try to set up for a worm bed?
Yeah, you and I did a few times, Dick. Yeah.
After living here a few years, I found out there's got to be lake flies all over the lake, so
I
abandoned that. I just, well, what's your most memorable experience spearing?
I think that was, oh man, a few years ago already. Red and I, it was a snowstorm, kind of a snowstorm in the morning, and we were, my brother Red, he comes up and visits with me and sits with me. And then we were going to go, and we were looking out there. I said, boy, Red, we better hold off a while. That snow, it was blowing along the surface, about 15 feet high. And it was so windy. So we stayed here and had an extra cup of coffee, just kind of watching the weather out the window. And finally, after about an hour or so, said, yeah, it looks like we can go now. Things are starting to settle down. And as we were going out there, we saw a guy standing by a shanty a ways off, and could make him out, and it was in the morning, probably 9 o'clock or something like that. And I said, that isn't right. He was kind of waving, and I said, both are. So I said, we better go over there. So here he was, some young guy, and he said, my buddy's in the hole. And his buddy was a Harry Keecher. So Red and I, we got in there. Oh, the poor guy was hanging onto the shanty down in the hole, heavy clothes, soaking up, and he was blue. He was just, within another 2 minutes, he'd have been gone. We got a hold of him, and we pulled and pulled, and he was a big guy. He probably went 300 pounds. And we got him up on the floor. He couldn't talk. He gashed himself in the head with a spear. And we said, wow, we got our hands. So we had a hard time getting him through the door of the shanty. And then we got him out there, and his buddy, he had a kind of a Jeep or something with a tailgate. And I said, we got to get him short. So we, three of us on him. Red got his legs, and him and I on the shoulder, and trying to throw him up on the tailgate. Missed once, hit the tailgate, backed up. Then we threw, got him in, finally got him in. And Red had a cell phone. He called 911, I believe, that we're coming in the fresh air camp at Nina. And they should meet us there. We had a guy that was injured, and he couldn't talk, and he's blue. And when he got there, they were there, and the ambulance was there, and the fire trucks were there, and we thought he was a goner. But he made her, and I think he's still spearing to this day.
Yes, he is.
But he's a little more careful.
That's a wonderful story.
Oh.
That extra cup of coffee saved his life.
Saved his life. Saved his life. It did. I don't think he'd lived another 5 minutes at the most.
What an experience. How about bad weather or bad ice conditions? You know, we've all, if you've been on the ice long enough, you run into cracks, springs, open water, blizzards, whiteouts. Any experiences you can remember there?
Yep. I was in the shanty, and I heard some snowmobiles come up, and it was blowing on. It couldn't see, but I always parked my vehicle heading towards the way I want to go when I go for home. And I heard these snowmobilers pull up, and Red was outside, and they come over to ask him. And he lives in Woodstock, Illinois now. And they said, hey, can you tell me where Waverly is? And I heard him tell him, yeah, right over that way, right that way to Waverly. You couldn't see it. It was a kind of a whiteout. So after a while, when I said, Red, them guys, where'd they want? He said, Waverly. I said, where'd you send them? He said, right down that way. I said, Red, that's the Neenah River. Why would you send them there? He said, well, I can't. He said, well, why would they ask me? You know I don't live around here. But they must have made it. We never heard anything. Wow. I said, that's crazy.
Do you carry a compass with you?
Always.
You betcha.
I always have one in my truck.
You bet. Any superstitions, Bob, that you have a certain color coaxer, a certain hat you have to wear or anything?
No. No, I don't. No, I know guys that do, but I don't.
Yeah. I know a guy who had a blue sock and a green sock on when he got a sturgeon. He didn't realize that at the time.
Yeah.
And, of course, he had a pair just like that at home. And
yeah.
From then on, he wore a blue and a green sock, one on of each color, so yeah. He thought that was his lucky charm.
Well, I knew a guy who always had an orange, yellow plaid shirt on.
Yeah.
Dick. You still got that?
Yeah. Don't fit no more, but still yeah. Got it. You ever use anise oil on any of your coaxers or
no.
Corn cobs
no.
Or decoys?
No.
PVC pipes for...
Yeah.
I mean, that's we made a big improvement there.
Yeah, definitely.
By going to...
Right. We used to slice potatoes and put them down in there.
That wasn't so bad. But
that wasn't so bad, but it was... This is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know of any illegal activities, you don't have to mention names, that makes a good story?
Well, not really.
Not really.
I don't think there's much illegal stuff going on out there anymore. Yeah. Years ago, it used to be a lot of it, I know that, but not anymore.
What's another favorite fish story you can tell out there? Anything come to mind where...
Well, I used to like to... put a bobber in the hole and fish and watch the bobber. Seemed like every day it'd come home with a couple of perch or a walleye or something, especially when the water's not real clear and you lose interest after a while.
Yeah.
You know, every day it would couple of fish come home with. I enjoyed that. But now that's a thing of the past, too.
Yeah. Any special event that you can remember a fish coming in the hole and it just glowed like a halo around it, or a hard shot, or under the ice, or...
Yeah, I've seen had them happen too, you know, but had so many encounters that it's hard to recall just which
any
is...
Any lucky shots
well,
under
no.
The floor, or,
no,
or somebody else seen it, you didn't, and...
No, not really. I remember one time I was talking to my son on the cell phone, and I said, hang on a second, you're one come from under the floor. There he was. Nice one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. 80-some pounder. Because I remember that. I said, hang on, Red. Or Mark, I said, I got to set this phone down.
That's good.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite recipe for sturgeon?
I think pan-fried is the best.
You like the pan-fried?
Yeah, I like them pan-fried or deep-fried.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little breading on them, some kind of seasoning, and not a lot of heavy breading, but
right.
Seasoning. And then deep-fried or pan-fried.
Do you soak... In the pan, do you have the oil about to cover half the thickness of the fish, or do you
no,
have it enough?
Yeah, about half.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's the most I do. Mm-hmm. How about caviar? Do you ever eat caviar?
Oh, love it. Love it. I got that one. That's the only one I ever got with a ripe caviar.
Oh, you did?
And Deed Bergstrom called me, and he said he knew a guy who would process this for me. So he did it on halves, and that was the best stuff. And I gave Deed a couple jars, and in the evening I'd get some crackers, unsalted crackers, and some cream cheese on there, and some caviar, and I'd mix a cocktail. And then I'd sit back and say, my friends could see me now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you enjoy the most about sturgeon spearing?
Oh, the camaraderie.
Yeah, that's
the guys.
That's 99% of the people say that.
Yeah, it's
fun to be around these guys this certain time of year, especially if they got gas for their saw.
Yeah, that's the little things that come back. You can try to start a saw for an hour and a half and finally figure out there's no gas in it.
Well, there was gas in there. It's just the way the thing was made that when it was tipped up, the gas wasn't.
Yeah, and we'll never forget it. We bring that up all the time, too.
Yeah. Well, anything else you could think of, Bob?
Well, between Red and I, we won that opening weekend fishery for Payne's Point twice.
Oh.
Yeah, won that twice. Just lucky. Well, you know, we won it because you checked in at Payne's Point, and this one guy down the beach ways, he got one, but he let the DNR gut it out for him there. And his fish would have been bigger. But we took ours without gutting it out. We took it down, you know, later after we went registered the fishery. And he was about a pound less, but they had cleaned it out for him. And he said he asked if they could do it. And they said, oh, sure. He said, go ahead. But he's a nice guy, too. I know him. See him out there.
Well, Bob, I thank you for your time and for the interview. It was a good interview. And this constitutes the interview for Bob Frank. And my name is Dick Kerner, and this is the end of the interview. Thanks, Bob.
You're welcome.